You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. There's an issue that is so concerning. The United Nations is declaring Monday, September 29th, as the Day of Awareness for Food Loss and Waste. So what does that mean? Well, we're taking a deep dive to learn how wasting food impacts our economy and the environment. And in this edition, what it means for you and your family. Our cover story is a focus on volunteers who are helping to mitigate food insecurity and waste in our area. We'll feature Hope Fridge in Menasha in about 30 minutes. Amanda Nimmer lightens things up while talking about forcing kiddos to clean their plates. We have a story on the election bills in front of the Wisconsin legislature, and Pete Schwabe has his classic cinema pick of the week. Later, The Mascot Theory is our musical guest, fresh off an appearance on Civic Media's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. If you'd like what you hear, the band has a special show coming up in Appleton, and we have the details. We're opening this issue of New Wisco Weekend with a startup company hoping to turn loss into opportunity by connecting consumers with unsold or surplus food. This means local businesses like grocery stores, bakeries, cafes, and more aren't wasting or throwing food away. You are able to buy it for cheap, and everyone involved is making a positive impact on the planet. The best part? It's happening through a free app now launched in several states, including here in Wisconsin. Terry Barr shares how the Too Good To Go app works and why you may want to give it a try.
Food waste is a huge issue. 38% of the food produced ends up being wasted. And that's a big number to think about. But there is a company hoping to make a social impact across the country and also right here in Wisconsin. I am pleased to introduce to you Allie Denberg. And Allie is the Associate Director of Strategy and Operations for Too Good To Go. We're going to learn all about this today. Allie, thanks for being here.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
How do you describe Too Good To Go?
Too Good To Go is the world's largest marketplace for surplus food. Our app connects food businesses with consumers who buy their surplus food for a fraction of the original retail price. So businesses can recoup revenue from food that would otherwise be thrown out. Consumers can eat great food for a half or less of the retail price. And everyone can contribute to lowering greenhouse gas emissions from food waste.
It sounds so simple, but is it? And why have we needed something like this? Because obviously we haven't been doing well when it comes to food waste.
Absolutely. And we do think it's simple. And we really see it as a win-win-win, where it's a win for customers, for businesses, and for the environment. But you're right that food waste really is a big problem that we have to tackle. You mentioned nearly 40% of food is wasted each year. It's also been shown that reducing food waste is the number one thing that individuals can do to help fight climate change. So this is really something that we want to mobilize people around. And we do try to make it easy. And I think part of that is food waste is really unpredictable. Almost every type of food business has some sort of waste because they don't know exactly how much they need to order, how much they need to prepare. Part of why it's hard to create a solution for something like this is that businesses don't know exactly what they'll have left at the end of each day. If they did, they wouldn't have that surplus. Too Good To Go actually operates with a surprise bag model. Instead of saying, you know, we're going to have exactly this type of food for you to come pick up, it's actually a surprise bag of whatever surplus the food business has. People are able to come in and they get this little bit of a surprise element. There's like something fun about that as well, where they can come in and see what exactly the business does have left at the end of that day.
Are you talking about leftover food at grocery stores, coffee shops? Where can people actually get this kind of surplus food?
Yeah, so we work with all types of food businesses. So that could range from coffee shops and bakeries to full service restaurants to grocery stores. And the types of, you know, surplus that they have are different. So it could be pastries, prepared foods, specific ingredients, perishable or non-perishable. So there's so much surplus that really every type of business has something.
So I want to feed my family, but I want to be able to save money. Does this work?
Absolutely. And I think there's a number of reasons people want to use Too Good To Go. And one of them is definitely affordability and being able to access great food at a lower price point. Most of the food on the Too Good To Go app is sold at a third of the original retail price. Our typical price points actually range from $3.99 to $5.99 on the app, which gets you $12 to $18 worth of food, sometimes more. And there's some exceptions there, but that's generally what you're spending. And it'll tell you if you're going to get a meal, baked goods, fruits and vegetables, a general category, so you know what to expect. We work with a lot of families who are looking to get more affordable meals, pack their kids a lunch. You might be able to go to a place where you spend $5, basically, and you get a few sandwiches, maybe some pizza slices, and you can make a few meals out of that. And it's a great way to also try new places in your area.
It sounds kind of fun, too, along with helping the environment, saving money. I'm talking with Allie Denberg, and Allie is with Too Good To Go. She's telling me all about this wonderful new app. So how's it going at this point? I know that you have launched, including in Wisconsin. What are you seeing as results and some reaction from both the businesses and people like me who might want to use this?
The launch has been going super well. We've saved over 26 million meals from going to waste across the country. In Wisconsin, we have actually saved over 30,000 meals already from going to waste across the state. Proud of the impact that we've made together. And that's been working with over 175 food businesses statewide. So definitely seeing strong reception, businesses looking to partner with Too Good To Go, and people looking to save food with us. Globally, we actually save 4 meals every second. So even though a lot of food is wasted, 80,000 meals are wasted every second, but Too Good To Go is saving 4 of them and really trying to scale up that impact as well.
What would you say is the bottom line for Too Good To Go?
I think Too Good To Go gives anyone a chance to be part of this mission to reduce food waste and help the environment. It's so hard in our day-to-day lives to actually make changes that are sustainable, good for the environment, that also help us as people. Usually being sustainable means sacrificing something, but this is a way that you can actually save money while helping the environment, and that's really what we're focused on.
So someone listening will think, huh, okay, I want to try this. What do they have to do?
You get the free app. You can go in the app and look at your local businesses that are saving food with Too Good To Go. Reserve a surprise bag through the app, and then you go pick it up at the business. It could be, you know, anything from bagels and pizza slices to fruits and vegetables to a full meal. So you don't know exactly what it's going to be, but that's basically how it works. We know that there's a large group of students who are actually food insecure, who are trying to figure out how to save money on food as well. But I think that's something that we're really excited about, is bringing the app to students in Wisconsin and kind of giving them a way to be able to shop locally, save money, and also help the environment.
I've been talking with Allie Denberg, and Allie is with Too Good To Go, and this app is available for anyone to use if you want to try to reduce food waste and, as you heard her say, help the environment. Allie, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great talking.
And you can download the free Too Good To Go app from the Google Play or Apple App Stores. You'll then find area businesses you can connect with to save food, money, and the environment. You know, I've never been a real picky eater, and my mother never had to force me to clean my plate, unless it was liver. Here's our commentator, Amanda Nimmer.
Hey, you better clear that plate. There are starving children in Africa, and you better be grateful that you at least have food.
Sound familiar?
Did you just flash back to when you were a child? Because I sure did.
I mean, that's what our parents told us all the time. You gotta clear your plate, can't leave the table, and you better be grateful that you have food, because somebody is starving somewhere. An extremely common occurrence back in the day. However, if you fast forward to now, That's not exactly the guideline anymore. In fact, they strongly recommend you don't put that kind of pressure on your kid. Not because they can't handle it, but because there may have been some negative repercussions from the old way. Here's what's up. According to a study published in the 2002 issue of Appetite, they surveyed over 100 college students, which 70% have said that they experienced that type of childhood, that forced food consumption. And more often than not, the forcer was a parent, and the most common forced foods were vegetables, red meat, and seafood. Is the nostalgia flowing through you? It is me. So a conflict was created from this experience. 49% of them said they cried, 55% experienced nausea, and then 20% actually vomited. Which the common theme here was it was not a good experience for the child. Ultimately, they said that they felt anger, fear, disgust, humiliation, and confusion, and also lack of control and helplessness. So what does this mean overall? Well, in this same study, they were asked if they would eat the food they were forced to eat in childhood now, and 72% said absolutely not. This created a scenario where the child lost and the parent won. So when that child has the opportunity later in life to freely choose what they would like to eat, they're going to choose what feels like the winning option. This creates pickier eaters and an overall bad experience with food. Now, of course, this isn't always the case. This was a study done where at least 70% felt this way. 27% actually said it did open them up to eating more foods, newer foods, when they became an adult. So this isn't a one-size-fit-all, but it's a majority fits. And that lies the problem. So nowadays, when it comes to having kids, they say don't force them to eat what's on their plate. However, you want them to eat what's on their plate. Vegetables are good for the brain. There's so many nutrients in this food. There's so many of this in that food. So it comes down to simply asking them to just try. Figure out a way to make them feel like it's their option to eat it, rather than us forcing them to eat it. And it's hard as parents to believe that your child will eventually like vegetables, but you gotta remember yourself. For instance, how many of us ate broccoli as kids willingly? That stuff is amazing now. I mean, you gotta remember, your body changes every 7 years. Like, every molecule in you is replaced with a new one, so your tastes are gonna change as you grow. And if it happened to us, it's gonna happen to the kids. So let's not give them a bad experience. Because ultimately what you're doing, and these are not my words, this is something I found in my research, and it really struck a chord with me. Eating more food than your body needs is also wasting it. So forcing your child to eat when they claim they're full is a waste of the food. So what's the solution? Well, plate smaller. They can always ask for more of something. That's what we do in my household. I plate very tiny portions. And when they choose to eat those foods and they ask for more, they can gladly have more. This especially is the case for foods I know they probably are not gonna like, but I want them to try anyway. Yes, I'm the same person who said go ahead and sneak those vegetables into food. By all means, go ahead and do it. Those nutrients are great for everybody. But when it comes to actually getting them to eat the actual substance sitting in front of them, you give them a small portion and you let them have the option of trying it. That's all you gotta do. Try it. Take a bite, and I'm happy. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But at least you tried it. And I can only hope from there we're creating a more positive experience so that as they grow and their tastes change and their bodies change and their minds mature, they eventually will also like to eat broccoli, which my children do, and edamame, but not carrots. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
There's still a lot more ahead on New Wisco Weekend, including our cover story on the Hope Fridge in Menasha. First, state DNR officials say more than 30% of the trash in Wisconsin landfills comes from wasted food scraps. And the main reasons? Misplanning, overbuying, and improper food storage at both homes and in restaurants. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local civic media radio stations, WGBW in Green Bay and WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. In just a bit, we have the music of Mascot Theory and our cover story on the Hope Bridge in Menasha with a very special announcement about a new Hope Bridge in Oshkosh. But right now, let's go to the movies with Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
For this week's classic flick, we follow a bounty hunter and a mob accountant across the country. 1988's Midnight Run pairs two generational actors in Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. Jack Walsh, De Niro, agrees to find mob accountant embezzler Jonathan Mardukas, or the Duke, played by Grodin. It's supposed to be an easy job, also known as a midnight run, from New York to L.A. But the Duke, while not a dangerous criminal, is witty and annoying and has no intention of going to prison. He constantly tries to escape to protect himself from mob boss Jimmy Serrano, played by Dennis Farina. After being asked to leave a flight before taking off, then hopping a train as the FBI closes in, Walsh and the Duke find themselves on a bus with nothing but time.
Why aren't you popular with Chicago Police Department?
That's something that really doesn't concern you.
She hurt you, Janet?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about?
I'm sorry you're hurt.
I'm not hurt.
You just said you were hurt.
I'm not hurt.
You just said you were hurt.
I didn't say I was hurt. You said I was hurt.
I asked you if you were hurt, and you said, yeah, I'm hurt.
That's because you made me say. You're starting to put words in my mouth.
Jack, you're a grown man. You have control over your own words.
You're damn right I do. So here come two words for you. Shut the f*** up.
Shortly after that scene, we find out De Niro's character would not take payoffs, but his wife left him for a fellow cop who does. Out of money and options, Walsh and the Duke have no choice but to stop in Chicago and ask for the help of his ex-wife. During the contentious conversation, Walsh sees his 12-year-old daughter for the first time in years, a poignant scene perfectly placed amid the comedic banter and chase scenes. The goals for the two characters are simple. The Duke just wants to disappear with his wife in his own form of witness protection. De Niro just wants out of the miserable business of bounty hunting and to open a coffee shop with the money he'll make from embattled bail bondsman Eddie Moscone, who, to get Walsh to take the gig, offers him $100 large. I love talking like a movie character. The film, written by George Gallo and beautifully paced by director Martin Brest, knows when to be funny, intense, and heartfelt at all the right times. Watching De Niro and Grodin over the course of 2 hours is a thing of beauty as they get on each other's nerves but grow to respect each other. Midnight Run is an easy watch. It's like the midnight run of watching movies. And it's your classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Let's change tracks just a little bit. Since 2020, Wisconsin's elections and election processes have been debated heavily. Now there are bills in front of the legislature to change some of that. Civic Media Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
State lawmakers are introducing bills that would change Wisconsin elections. Both Republicans and Democrats have their own proposals, but they introduced them together at a press conference, a rarity here in Wisconsin. Representative Lee Snodgrass, a Democrat from Appleton.
Today we are meeting the moment. Our country and our state has never been more divided and more contentious. The partisan divide has become not just contentious, but even hostile. Rep. Krug and I will continue to model that civil conversations and debate can happen in the same room, from the same podium, and with the same goal in mind, in spite of diverging ideas.
There she referenced Representative Scott Krug, a Republican from Nakusa, who's now on the Elections Committee. He presented his plans. He calls them common sense measures.
In the polls, we see voters want three things in Wisconsin elections. They want to know that the person who's voting next to them is who they say they are. They want to know that that person is eligible to vote. And they want to know who won the damn election before they go to bed.
His bills include standardizing drop box rules, creating standard early voting hours, and new rules for election observers. One of the most notable among his plans, a bill to allow poll workers to begin processing absentee ballots on the Monday before Election Day. Most states allow that, but Wisconsin does not. A similar bill last year was blocked by Republicans in the state Senate. Krug says he's balancing what the Trump administration wants with preserving Wisconsin's independent election system.
This package that I'm looking to introduce this week does take into account a lot of the things that President Trump has said about elections. We need safety, we need security, we need to know who voters are. But we also want to make sure that, you know, we understand that we set the line in Wisconsin, that we have our own election system. So as you hear things coming out of Washington about we're not going to, you know, we don't want to do mail-in voting anymore. We're going to go to get rid of machines and do hand counting and some things like that. Those are things we have not included in this package because that's not the Wisconsin way.
Meanwhile, Democrats' proposals focus on increasing voter education and accessibility. Their bills would increase accessibility training for poll workers and mandate that elected officials work a shift as a poll worker so they understand the system they're legislating.
I have seen time and time again my colleagues making false claims about election security or administration. And as I tell people, there's no better way of learning than doing. So requiring all elected officials to work a poll where they're, of course, not on the ballot will enhance their understanding of the process so that they can continue to be a voice to talk about how Wisconsin's elections are secure.
Representative Jody Emerson, a Democrat from Eau Claire, authored bills that would require Wisconsin high schools teach voter education and allow young people to pre-register to vote before they turn 18.
This legislation ensures that every high school student in Wisconsin who becomes eligible to vote receives a voter registration form and nonpartisan information about voting and civic responsibility. Democracy works best when everyone participates, and that starts with access and education.
Democratic Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner from Green Bay is introducing bills to further protect clerks, their staff, and poll workers.
We had a person who claimed to be an election observer who tried to break into City Hall looking for the China ballots. We had another individual who claimed to be an election observer who filmed, stalked, followed our clerk.
Krug has signed on as an author of three of the Democrats' bills. Lawmakers at this press conference made it clear they do not agree on all of these proposals, but they'll get a chance to talk about problems and potential changes when they go through the committee process. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
When we return, we'll flip the page to our cover story featuring the Hope Bridge in Menasha. New Wisco Weekend continues right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS in Oshkosh and WGBW in Green Bay, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story now. Recently, I had the opportunity to chat with Rhea DePeoples and Madeline Knowles Johnson. They both are volunteers that work with the Hope Fridge in Menasha. Thank you guys for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Now, I've been wanting to do this for a while because I absolutely love Hope Fridge and what it stands for. There's only one Hope Fridge in the Fox Valley right now, and that is in Menasha, am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. So our current Hope Fridge is behind the People of Progression building in Menasha. That's 332 Broad Street, correct? Mm-hmm. So it's in the parking lot behind there. And then we are also in the works of opening up both an Oshkosh and Appleton location.
Tell me a little bit about what the Hope Fridge is and what it does.
Sure. So the Hope Fridge is a mutual aid project, and it's an outdoor fridge and pantry space where people can bring food and dry goods and things like that. And it's a really great project, a community project that allows, you know, neighbors to help their neighbors. And it's a really low barrier to access for people who need food or who want to donate food to, you know, their community members.
Now, the Hope Fridge that's behind People's of Progression, there's a fridge, and then next to it, as you said, there's like a little pantry area. So it houses not just the things that need to be refrigerated, but also non-perishables. And I've noticed that sometimes it also has hygiene products in it, too.
Yeah. So we take food, meals, non-perishables, and hygiene products. And on our website, there's a list of, you know, the types of donations that we take. What's cool about having a fridge is it means people can, you know, donate freshly made meals. We just ask that they're labeled with ingredients and the date, and that people are able to access a lot of foods that they maybe can't get from other food pantries, because we have, you know, fresh foods, things that need refrigeration and freezer as well.
Now, when I went to the Hope Fridge last year, when this particular location was opened up, there was a little garden next to it too. Is the garden still in operation?
Yeah, it is. So People of Progression, which does a lot of amazing work in our community, they have a garden that their folks and volunteers have been working on all summer. So it's really cool when you're there, you might see people gardening, but also just see a lot of things being grown that are also being given back to the community.
With the Hope Fridge, you mentioned that people can bring by already prepared meals. They can bring by stuff that they may have purchased that they didn't need or didn't want, but you ask for it to be labeled. Explain that a little bit for me.
Yeah, so when we're preparing food for other people, it's kind of like working in a kitchen. You know, you want to use really safe practices when you're making food for someone else. So to label the meals that are being made is really important so that people with allergies or food sensitivities can know exactly what they're eating, because, you know, they deserve to know what they're picking up.
So let's say that I decided I was going to make a whole bunch of bagged lunches or something like that, and I put together an assembly line in my kitchen, the bread, the mayo, the mustard, the meat, the cheese, the whole thing. So then on the bag I should write, sandwiches made with white bread, mayonnaise, mustard, turkey breast, American cheese, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You wouldn't have to necessarily list out like all the ingredients that are in the mayonnaise and in the mustard, but yeah, having those general ingredients written down is what we would ask for.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do have a lot of people who will, you know, get together and make bag lunches, that kind of thing, and then just put a little label on the front so that people know what they're grabbing and can grab things according to their preferences.
Is there a process for donating to the Hope Fridge?
No. So the great thing about the Hope Fridge is that it's open 24/7 and you don't have to talk to anybody if you don't want to interact with it. And so people can go by at any time and drop things off. We have volunteers who are, you know, there multiple times a week just to make sure that, you know, there's nothing expired that needs to be thrown out and that things are being kept clean and to bring things to let people know like what's there. We will ask people, like, if you're making a big donation, to, you know, if you can send us a message on Facebook with a photo so that we can let people know what's there. But in terms of dropping things off, people can just go at any time and leave it whenever it's convenient for them.
So it's very, like you said, it's very convenient. It's all geared towards being able to drop things off or being able to pick things up without any stigma or people looking over you or whatever.
100%. It's really important to us that this is something that's convenient for people who are donating and people who use the fridge as well. It makes it a really easy thing for people to do, to have that, you know, really low barrier to access in order to help contribute to their community.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's really important. There are, of course, a lot of really great nonprofits and government services and that sort of thing that help with food insecurity in our community. But there are often barriers to accessing that. So, you know, means tests, people having to prove that they don't have enough money for food or having to show an ID, you know, maybe immigration status is a concern. Like, what's great about the Hope Fridge is that there are no barriers. We trust people to take what you need, to leave what you can. And it's, you know, there are people who are doing both. So it's not like a top-down charity model. You can be somebody who's dropping food off one day and picking food up the next day. And we just really think that's an awesome way for people to be sharing resources in our community.
Now, you mentioned that you're in the process of reopening one in Oshkosh. There used to be one in Oshkosh and there used to be one in Neenah as well. So we're getting ready to reopen those or find places for them. Where are we in that?
We are, what we can say is we're working on it. We're working on it in Oshkosh and in Appleton right now. We are looking for someone to host the next fridge that we want to put together. So if anyone who's listening thinks that they might have a good location in mind that we should reach out to, you know, please let us know.
So you're looking for a location in Oshkosh and in Appleton.
In Appleton. So, yeah.
Okay.
So the volunteers in Oshkosh are already working on what it looks like to reopen the Oshkosh fridge. But in Appleton, the place that we're at in that process is that we're exploring potential hosts and looking for folks who might have a space that could be, you know, accessible 24/7 and that we could work with them on setting up a fridge there.
Now, this is all volunteer based. There's nobody that's like head honcho or, you know, no organization that is really just, you know, putting their fingers all over this. This is volunteer based and it's a grassroots mutual aid type of situation, right?
100%. The way it's being, you know, run right now is we have a group chat of people who are just interested in doing something like this. And that's kind of how it was working before we got involved as well. And then people reach out to us via social media asking how to get involved. And yeah, it's very much, there's no boss, there's no head honcho. Like you said, it's just a group of people who are really interested in getting involved.
So yeah. If somebody does want to get involved, if somebody does want to help in Oshkosh, in Appleton, or even up in Menasha, how do they get in touch with you? What is the method for them to go through that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I will say is that, you know, if you want to get involved in the existing Hope Fridge in Menasha, that you don't have to wait for any permission or invitation to do so. So we have a lot of folks who regularly contribute to the Hope Fridge who we might not even know, but who will send us a message like, hey, my friends and I made bag lunches. We dropped them off. It's here. There are just a lot of people who might regularly contribute or just contribute once in a while. So you can get involved in that way anytime you want without, you know, permission or reaching out. People who want to get more deeply involved can message us on Facebook. That's kind of the most direct way to get up-to-date information about the fridge right now. So can send a message on Facebook. There is also our website where there's information as well. And, you know, I'll say we came on, I don't know, within the last like year or so. Yeah. But the origins of Hope Fridge in our community was the same, a group of grassroots volunteers in 2021 who realized that there were gaps in our community that weren't going to be filled by the state and wanted to have a mutual aid run project. And so there's been a lot of people involved over the years and people are able to contribute to the degree that they want to for whatever period of time. And we're just really grateful that there's so much enthusiasm around it in our community.
You mentioned Facebook and you mentioned a website. Is there a web address that you can direct people to?
Yep. It's www.hopefridge.com.
Oh, that's very simple, very straightforward, kind of hard to not know how to spell Hope Fridge. And
absolutely.
It's hopefridge.com, right?
.com. That's right. And it has, we do ask if people do want to get involved with making food and donating food that they follow the guidelines that we've, you know, put together to make sure everyone stays safe and uses best practices when making food for other people.
I like that. I like that very much. So hopefridge.com. And then on Facebook, I'm guessing it's Hope Fridge as well.
It's Hope Fridge, maybe Fox Valley.
Okay.
And then our Instagram, which is connected to Facebook as well. I think it's just Hope Fridge FV. That's right.
Mm-hmm. FV. Excellent. Well, Rhea and Madeline, thank you both so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. And I know that there are many people in the Fox Valley who appreciate what Hope Fridge does and offers to those who need it through food for because of food insecurity and also offering people a way to give if they want to. I think that's wonderful. So thank you for joining me today.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having us.
If you'd like to make a donation to your local Hope Fridge, you can do so by dropping off fresh produce such as bananas, oranges, apples, and vegetables, ready to eat or grab and go meals and snacks, pastries, baked goods and bread, cheeses, yogurt, pasteurized eggs, and pasteurized milk. cured sandwich meats, Lunchables, fruit snacks, and granola bars, frozen dinners, fruit juices, water, and sports drinks, cooking oils, but none that are in glass containers, homemade meals, follow safe preparation guidelines that include ingredient labels and the date made for homemade meals. The same thing for prepared meals from commercial kitchens. Include an ingredient label and the date made. I have really good news for people in the Oshkosh area. The Hope Fridge is returning thanks to a strong coalition of community partners like the Trinity Episcopal Church, First Congregational Church, Solutions Recovery, Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services, Algoma Boulevard United Methodist Church, Winnebago County Public Health, and others. A Hope Fridge in Oshkosh will be set up outside of Trinity Episcopal Church at 203 Algoma Boulevard. The grand reopening of the Oshkosh Hope Fridge is Thursday, October 2nd. New Wisco Weekend will be there and will bring you a story of celebration from the event. In the meantime, visit hopefridge.com for information on how you can help. Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, the music of mascot theory. First, did you know that the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the leading waste component in our state is food and food scraps? The DNR says 917,000 tons of food was wasted in 2024. And the Environmental Protection Agency found in a 2024 study that food waste costs every U.S. consumer about $728 a year. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Eric Jelen from Mascot Theory visited Civic Media's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba recently to talk about the launch party for their new album. We have some of that interview, but let's start things off with the music.
The family dinner table, separate the truth from fable. My brain is drowning loud and free. Pass that salty ocean to me. Across the family dinner table, separate the truth from fable.
You stare at the wall, you're tearing your hair out. I dare you to carry it all. The baggage you buried, it's there when you're raring to fall. Cause they don't care if you disparage to perish or stall. The tank is empty, start to rush to the end. And it's tempting to break all the rules when Lady Justice is bending. So save me from all the lies and the maybes. Cause maybe if we told the truth, then all our lies would be gravy. I'm going crazy, but I'm sane enough to know that you made me. The game is changing and I'm praying I'll continue to play it. But lately I'm just losing faith and every day it keeps fading. The pain is raising past the blame. I'll let the rain hit the pavement. Another payment, you can't pay it. So you're trying to fake it. I bet you need a vacation. Cause you're running and racing. Now get a grip and be patient. Don't slip when you're pacing. Take another deep breath. Face the heat and embrace it. Face the heat and embrace it.
We got a shout out for our guest, Eric Jelen from Terry Bar.
Hey, Terry.
Yay, Eric. So we just heard Got a Grip.
Yep.
You have a little rap in there, kind of. You're a little bending some genres here. I love when people do that.
Yeah, we just, we're doing this. We decided to do this album completely on our own with no constraints. We'll just do whatever we felt like fit the mood. And a friend of mine, Tyler Durden, the rapper on there, had actually heard a demo of that song probably a year before. And he had actually really loved the demo, and then he wrote a whole verse for it and then sent it to me, and I totally forgot about it. And a year later, we pop it down on the album, and I was sharing with him kind of where we were at with the song. He's like, I wrote a verse for that. I'm like, oh no, I forgot about that. And I'm like, well, I don't know. We've got, like I said, we got these things timed down. So anything that goes in, something else is coming out. But, you know, if you want to send it to me, we'll see. And we started working on it, and it's like, oh, this is amazing. This is going to fit perfectly with the theme of the album and everything, and dealing with grief and loss and then kind of the cosmic picture after what happens next. So it just fit perfect. So, yeah.
It's interesting. Eric Jelen is my guest from The Mascot Theory. We just heard his song, Got a Grip. The new album drops October 3rd.
Yeah.
Okay, so where can people find that? Spotify, the usual outlets?
All the streamers. We'll have it on our website, themascottheory.com. There'll be a link to our store, our Bandcamp store, so you can order it right from there. We'll send you CD or vinyl versions and digital streaming, all that stuff.
And when can people see you? It's October 5th. You have a release party at the Atwood Music Hall here in Madison.
Correct.
And then you mentioned one in Appleton as well.
October 3rd, the actual release day. We're going to be at Gibson Music Hall in Appleton. So it's going to be a blast. And they're very different kind of shows that we would typically do. We're kind of a rock, folk rock band. With this album, we really felt like we wanted it to be the focus of everything that we're performing. So it's actually a very intimate kind of sit down. We're going to do an interview. Terry Barr is actually going to be at the Madison one and going to do an interview on stage. We'll talk about the album and the process a little bit. And then we've got our friends Into the Music podcast up in Appleton. We'll do the same thing.
On your website, you have a passage that says, where you describe this album, peering, jittery energy with a little self-interrogation. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think it's especially with this theme. I mean, when you're trying to tie in all the songs, or all the songs are all in the same ideas, you really have to look into, okay, what was I feeling during all of this, when my dad was passing away? How was that really affecting me at the time? How do I reflect on that now?
Yeah.
And so you really got to dig deep on that. What is that? And then kind of the side B of the album is really more of the, okay, after death, what happens now? How do we grieve from that lens now, when it's the healing part, right? So it's like, what does that look from a cosmic standpoint? Where do we go after we pass away? All those kind of big ideas is kind of the second half of the album, and that's kind of what we were shooting for on this one.
Here's Eric Jelen and Mascot Theory.
Open up my eyes to see again. It's clear, so clear. All covered up in my feelings, but I was not alone in grieving. It's clear, so clear.
If you're loving the music, here in New Wisco, the Mascot Theory has a launch party planned for their new album at the Gibson Music Hall in Appleton on October 3rd. Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at food waste. New Wisco Weekend is written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale, directed and produced by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Savannah Tomei Olson, Peach Waba, and our commentator, Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me at any time. My email address is lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.